You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. What do you do when you go looking for a certain type of book in your library and you come up empty-handed? No books fit what you need. Well, if you were sisters Zina and Mina Nasiri, you begin fixing that problem by starting a nonprofit. Here's the problem. Their library had no books about Muslim women. Their solution? A nonprofit group they founded called Girls of the Crescent. Zina and Mina Nasiri are from Oakland County, from Rochester Hills, and they're with us now. Hello, it's good to have you here.
Hello, hi. Thank you for having us.
So, Zina, you are how old?
I'm 16.
And what grade are you in?
I'm in 10th grade.
All right, and Mina?
I'm 14, I'm a freshman.
All right, so you go to Adams High School.
Yes.
So tell us more about, Zina, what happened with kind of this, had a project, went to the library. What was the project and what happened?
So in fourth grade, we were given a research project. We were told to research about someone that we looked up to. And so we went into our local public library. We were really excited to do some research about Muslim women that we looked up to, but we couldn't find any books about them in the biography section. And so we realized that there was this lack of diversity and lack of books about Muslim women.
Now, that's a pretty deep realization for being in grade school. How did that, Zina, lead to you founding the Girls of the Crescent?
In February of 2018, we actually read The Lines We Crossed, which was the first book with the female Muslim main character that we read. And it kind of brought us memories back from fourth grade. And so that inspired us to start our nonprofit, Girls of the Crescent, where we collect books with female Muslim main characters and then donate them to schools and libraries.
Explain the choice of that name, Girls of the Crescent.
So it took us a while to pick the name. We chose Crescent because it's the symbol of Islam and our nonprofit focuses on that religion. And we chose Girls because we're girls helping other girls.
So you're collecting books, Mina. Where do you get the books from?
We order them online. We did a lot of research to see like what books would be good for our list. And we have like a really wide variety of biography books and fiction, nonfiction. We have like a really long list on our website. And then we ask libraries and schools what books they don't have or what books they might want. And then we order them and then we ship them to the libraries.
Now, this doesn't come for free. So how are you paying to do all of this work, Zina?
So we have a lot of fundraising that we're doing and that we did do in the past. We did a can and bottle drive in our neighborhood where a lot of neighbors donated. It was really nice to see all the generosity. We also have a lot of people donating on our website and a lot of authors that we contact donate their own books, which is really nice to see.
Now, I'm interested when you go to a library, how do you approach the libraries? What do they say?
So we look at libraries in our district. We email them asking them to look at our list of books and see what books they have and what books they don't have. And they're always really excited about our cause.
Well, I think librarians of all people are the ones that are probably looking to open people's minds. And the idea of diversity has to be something that they really want to build into their libraries.
Yeah, a lot of librarians have said like they're starting a diversity section or they're working really hard to get more diverse books. And so when we tell them about our project, they're like, this is perfect for the time right now. We're trying to increase the diversity.
So this started about a year ago. Do you know how many books you've collected and distributed so far?
We've donated about 500 books and we've collected over $4,000.
Okay. And when you say libraries, are we talking school libraries, public libraries? Where are the libraries?
We've donated to public libraries and also like school classrooms, so the individual classrooms in the school.
Now, I have to wonder, I suspect both of you love to read.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Did you have any idea how many books were actually out there? How did you start researching and discovering books about Muslim women?
We actually have a lot of people, when we tell them about a project, come up to us and they're really surprised about how many books there actually are. And they're like, oh, how can you do this if there aren't that many books? But they're actually a really wide variety of books. There just isn't awareness or availability. And we were surprised ourselves. Our list is really long and it keeps growing every day.
I did check your website out and you've got quite a great collection.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, you must be reading these as they come in, somewhere within all the homework time you have to do.
Yeah.
So start with you, Mina. Have you found a book that you just said, boy, am I glad I found this book?
Can I mention the first one we read?
Mm-hmm.
It was called The Lines We Cross. The main character actually has the same name that I do. And like that was the first time I've ever seen my name in a book. And it was just a really fun kind of teen romance novel, but it also incorporated the religious part. And it was a really good book.
And what's Zina's favorite book?
That's definitely also my favorite book. But a lot of the children's books are really cute. There's one called Golden Domes and Silver Lanterns. And it's a book about colors. And it's really adorable.
What does it mean, and you started to tell us this, Mina, for you, as young Muslim women, to see yourselves in a book?
It feels really good. It kind of gives us a sense of like being included, I guess, in society, because if children grow up and they don't see themselves in the media or they don't see themselves in books, it kind of shows like they're not really included or they're not shown in the society. And so the first time we read a book with a character like us, it was just a really great feeling.
Yeah. And what were your feelings, Zena?
Very, very similar to Mina. We both really, really love reading, and we read a ton. It just kind of never occurred to us that we were missing out until we read the first book, and then we realized that our whole lives we had never really seen that, and the other people were probably experiencing the same thing.
If you've just joined us, we are talking to sisters Zena and Mina Nasiri. They're from Rochester Hills, and when they discovered that their local library had no books about Muslim women or Muslim girls, they decided they were going to fix the problem. They founded a nonprofit group they call Girls of the Crescent, and their mission is to collect books with Muslim girls and women and get those books out into the libraries. And as you're doing this, at this point in our nation's history, you know that there is this sense of unease or even fear and hatred in this country toward some minority communities. How do you think of this work you're doing in Girls of the Crescent in kind of addressing this and promoting inclusiveness and maybe changing mistaken ideas that people might have about Islam?
The books that we are donating provide a window into someone's life that maybe someone isn't very used to or isn't comfortable to because they haven't personally met someone, like a female Muslim or just a Muslim person at all. And we've, both Mina and I, have experienced negative stereotypes toward us from classmates in regards to us being Muslim.
Like what?
Recently, it was near Christmas time, and so this kid was asking me, like, what do I do on Christmas? And I said, I don't celebrate it because I'm Muslim and I celebrate something else. And then I got called out. He called me something really bad, and it just felt horrible.
Have you had anything like that happen?
I had a classmate tell me that I was lucky that I hadn't had my hands cut off because I wasn't living in the Middle East.
How does that make you feel?
It's really disheartening, and it's just really unpleasant because you feel like you don't belong, and that people having these negative stereotypes are usually a result of ignorance, and it's an easily fixable problem if they're just educated, and it's just really sad that they aren't.
Yeah, so when you think about these books that you're putting in, you're sowing seeds, aren't you, that maybe some first or second grader, before these ideas are formed, may read that book. And at least, as you say, it's like opening this door. So this is really as much for young people who are Muslim, like you are, who wanted to see yourself, as it is for people who don't really know what it's about. Do you think it's even more for the people who don't know what being Muslim is about and don't understand Islam?
Yeah, I think that's a really big part of it. We're trying to like educate them, trying to show them like Muslim people and Muslim women. And especially, like you said, if children read about these books, if they see like a character with a hijab or a character from a Middle Eastern country, they realize like, oh, this person is like me. This person has similar experiences, and they don't grow up being ignorant. They don't grow up with those biases.
Well, you can learn more about Mina and Zena Nasiri's work by going to their website. It's very easy to find, girlsofthecrescent.org. Again, girlsofthecrescent.org. List of books, list of ways to get involved. And, you know, who knows what kind of seeds that you've planted now and where that may take you. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much for speaking with us about your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.